The Holy Gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. Some Pharisees came, and to test Jesus they asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" Jesus answered them, "What did Moses command you?" They said, "Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of dismissal and to divorce her." But Jesus said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, he wrote this commandment for you. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. And the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." Then in the house, the disciples asked him again about this matter. He said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." People were bringing little children to him in order that he might touch them. And the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them. For it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Good morning. Let us pray. Gracious God, help us to be faithful. Help us to protest. In your name we pray. Amen. Adultery is the topic of the day. Don't do it. Adultery is seeking physical pleasure or emotional gratification without regard to others. It's selfish and hurtful. Sometimes divorce happens as a result of adultery. Divorce is understandable when you need to get away from abuse. I don't think Jesus condemns divorce to get out of abuse. He condemns adultery. I remember having a friend whose parents went through a divorce. It was devastating. Let's say his name was Ryan. Ryan's family had this beautiful home that was built on the side of a steep mountain. The house was surrounded by huge trees, and there were multiple levels to the house built into the hillside. It was artsy and eclectic, full of antiques and beautiful. There was this expansive, huge deck that wrapped around the property. One year at Ryan's birthday, we played musical chairs, and the chairs were lined up so far on that deck you couldn't see the end of them. Children running everywhere, having the time of our lives. Underneath the deck, we would crawl, and it was full of spider webs, and there were secret passages underneath the house. Ryan's dad was kind, tall, fit, maybe a little anxious. Ryan's mom was something else. In my house growing up, we made our burritos in the microwave. At Ryan's home, when there still was a home, they made their burritos in the frying pan, and they came out crispy and delicious. One day, all of that ended. My friendship with Ryan was stretched thin and faded mostly due to geography. One parent relocated to a hot, dry city that was flat and full of thorns and rocks. I remember getting them in my bare feet. The other parent went to a big city that was even hotter. I didn't see him or his family very much at all after that. Sometimes it feels like the world itself is going through a divorce. Sometimes it feels like the world that we knew once when we were children, like an old friend's childhood family home, is fading. That place of comfort and security seems to be slipping away from our fingertips, driven by forces beyond our control. We are like children who want nothing more than to eat home-cooked food and play under the shade of trees. However, the so-called leaders of our world, those people who should be like loving parents to their citizens, can only fight and destroy. Lord, have mercy. I was protesting the war this past Wednesday morning with the seniors from Pilgrim Place. Everyone says it's the youth that are protesting, but watch out for those seniors from Pilgrim Place. We were on the corner of Indian Hill and Arrow Highway, and we got a lot of honks. Each week we have been protesting, there seem to be more and more honking in support. Afterward, when we were debriefing, someone in our group was feeling discouraged and said, you know, even though we're protesting here every week, it doesn't seem to be working. You will note that in the news this past week, the war's escalated. Then someone else in our group says, well, it depends on what you consider working. While the so-called leaders plunge us into war, regular people are honking more and more. And by the way, from my qualitative observation, who do you think's honking the most? Is it elite liberals driving electric cars? Not really. You get a few honks. Most of the honks are from dump trucks, city buses, electricians' trucks, maids going to work, working people who know what's at stake. Those are the loudest honkers with the biggest peace signs, waving in solidarity. They know what's at stake. So I asked the group when we were talking about this, what if the war were to end today? Would we come back here next week and protest? And someone emphatically said, yes, we would just protest for something else, like the environment. So there is always value in protesting. It's fun. It's therapeutic to get together and do something. We talk philosophy on the street corner. One of the guys is a retired philosopher and a preschool director. He says that preschoolers are the most philosophical people on earth. I shared that with our preschool director, and she completely agreed. What do you call Christians who aren't Catholic or Orthodox? What do you call Lutherans, Baptists, Methodists? You put us all together, and we're called Protestants. Protestants. We were the ones that protested against the Pope 500 years ago. And we haven't stopped. It's in our DNA. There will always be something to protest because protest is fun. It's art. It's performance. It's the opposite of adultery. Think about it. Adultery is secretive. It happens behind closed doors. Shh. protest we do in the wide open for all the world to see. Protest is naming the uncomfortable truths that people don't want to talk about. I don't want to talk about that. But we're going to talk about it. We're going to bring those secrets out into the open. And we're going to hold accountable those few who have gone astray, who've lost their way, who have succumbed to temptation, to greed. Protest is the antidote to slavery. It's the antidote to adultery, greed, divorce, and war. Our psalm this morning, Psalm 8, says, out of the mouths of babes and infants, God has founded a bulwark against our foes to silence our enemy and avenger. Therefore, according to the Bible, our security comes from the mouths of children because they naturally know how to protest. An infant will cry and wail until it gets what it needs. And those are holy, sacred cries that we need to listen to. And right now, there are children crying all over the world if we hear them. They are the strongest force that will bring about security. In a very strange way, we should give thanks for adultery, divorce, greed, and war. It's for the same reason we should give thanks for the cross of Jesus Christ. The Bible says to give thanks in all circumstances. All the people who have ever been betrayed, all the children who have been abandoned, all the victims of robbery and injustice, and all the martyrs who have been killed are all the first to enter the kingdom of God. They are blessed and highly favored. Remember Adam? The first human. He was lonely. So God put him to sleep and took out his rib. And from that rib, God made another human being. Because humans shouldn't be alone. Humans need other humans. Adam beheld Eve and said, "Finally, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh." And it was sometime after that that Jesus, our Lord and Savior, hung on the cross. And God put him to sleep too. And after God put him to sleep, God took his rib out with a Roman spear stuck into his side. And with that, when the blood flowed out, God took that rib and God made a new creation. And that creation is called the church, you and me. The fellowship of believers. We are the new Eve. We are the bride of Christ. We are bone of his bone. We are flesh of his flesh. And he will never forsake us. He will always be faithful to us. In him, we have everything that we need. A burning fire of love within our hearts that will never go out. We will never be abandoned. We have everything that we need. We have nothing to fear. Amen. Please stand as you're able for the hymn of the day.
I want to walk as a child of the light. I want to follow Jesus. God set the stars to give light to the world. The star of my life is Jesus. In him there is no darkness at all. The night and the day are both alike. The Lamb is the light of the city of God. Shine on my heart, Lord Jesus. I want to see the brightness of God. I want to look at Jesus. Clear sun of righteousness, shine on my path and show me the way to Father. In him there is no darkness at all. The night and the day are both alike. The Lamb is the light of the city of God. Shine in my heart, Lord Jesus. I'm looking for the coming of Christ. I want to be with Jesus. When we have run with patience the race, we know the joy of Jesus. In him there is no darkness at all. The night and the day are both alike. The Lamb is the light of the city of God. Shine in my heart, Lord Jesus.
With the whole church, let us confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary,